Academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB.
The open concept office is the worst thing to befall humanity. Open concept means noisy. The philosophy behind the open concepts is to help people interact with each other, to collaborate, to work together, to not breed a level of resentment where the likelihood of physical violence is increased tenfold. The open office concept is supposed to remove the isolation that is the cubicle. The word cubicle is disgusting. If a doctor started talking to you about a cubicle, you would immediately ask if it could be removed, cut out, gone from your body. A cubicle is supposed to simulate privacy, allowing you to concentrate while actually giving you none. It's like a magician's trick, a deception, telling you that you can focus on your work, which is very important to the functioning of the company, and therefore the world, while at any moment someone may stick their head into your unfinished box to annoy you. The box isn't even finished. They don't have the follow-through, the dignity, to pen you up correctly. There are people who spend significant portions of their lives dreaming of having a door. There is some debate, but the first depiction of a door was in an Egyptian tomb painted some 4,000 years ago. You know, Amon was just tired of being out in the open all the time, having people walk into his space uninvited, having people stick their head in and ask questions. They could answer themselves if they took the time to listen to the actual answer given to that very question last month. The report has been written, Gordon. Maybe take a minute and read the fucking thing, and you can figure something out yourself. Like what physical signs a person gives off when they do not want to be disturbed. Gordon pissed Amon off so much that he designed a big flat piece of wood, not something easy to come by in the desert, put some hinges on it so that it could be closed right in Gordon's face, and finally, a handle so it could be opened so Amon could get out of there. You know what happened next? Gordon just walked in. He just opened the door and walked in. Didn't notice this revolutionary new invention, didn't acknowledge a barrier had been erected to interfere with his very behavior. Just walked right in like Gordon had been opening doors his entire life. Knocking hadn't even been invented yet. So Amon, trying to maintain some sanity, because what even is an Excel sheet? And he invented the lock. The oldest known example was found in the ruins of the palace of Khorasbad near Nivea about 4,000 years ago as well. It is well documented that one of the most satisfying sounds known to man is the sound of Gordon's face hitting the first locked door and the confusion that came along with it. Amon sat for a moment, Gordon confused as he was the first person in all of history to be denied entry into a space. This fact settled deep in his soul, and Gordon wandered off. Amon sat in silence, the first, most blessed silence created by a locked door. None of this means anything to someone who works in an open concept office, as the doors have been thrown back into the tomb where they were discovered. They will wonder at the concept of a door. Wonder at the concept of a wall, even an unfinished one, even a squat wall that only goes up to your nipples. All these things are on a spectrum of lies, each addition to privacy more false than before, but leading you down into a pit of actually wishing you had an office. Who in their right mind would want an office? The glorified jail cell where you are burdened by the emptiness of yourself and are expected to show appreciation that some unseeing overlord has given you full walls and a door. Status. Let's just talk about it in my office. Meet me in my office. I'm a fancy man with a door and walls, which this whole building is made out of, but there are tiny extra ones inside the building that are all mine on the inside. I am no longer in the cubicle farm. I have my own special pen where I am milked of my life. If I'm lucky, it will go into a golden bucket. If you work in an office with cubicles, you have no doubt stood up and seen that most surreal of horizons, the flat plane of the dividers going on in endless repetition, endless until the wall which separates this room of cubicles from another room of cubicles, the mega cubicle that holds all the smaller cubicles within. Nothing breaks the monotony, except perhaps a plant that has broken its boundaries, reaching up into the skies of nature, which are now blocked by floor after floor in endless repetition, mimicking and mocking the repetitive monotony of the individuals within. The sky could be no more, blacked out by an angry deity, and the plants would not know, still hoping that the sun's nourishing rays would reach them somehow. Plants in these rooms often look sick and out of place, struggling in the harshness of office lighting. Sometimes you can see the exit, with the exit sign silently beckoning, always telling you, here, here you can leave. You can go through these doors, through the door here, the one right under me. Then you won't be where you are anymore. You will have exited. The sign is like an oasis, especially because it is a mirage. You never truly exit. You go home to sleep only to return. What is the exit then, but a very convoluted and very time-consuming entrance? This office is not like those. It is open concept. If you dare to drop something, a cup, a stack of papers, your dreams, everyone's eyes turn towards you, and this becomes the event of the day. You become the pariah of the moment, of disturbing the thinly veiled peace covering the pent-up anger of a floor of employees who wish they had been more than they are, all of whom dream that they will differentiate themselves from the rest of the workers through a burst of creativity that will shatter the world they have known for so long. They feel anger that this dream serves to keep them in their place, discussing retirement plan options, working at their desks, waiting for their next paycheck, drinking away nights, watching television instead of walking up to that exit sign, stepping through and never stepping back to actually exit. Still, people rarely drop things. People rarely do anything of note, which is where the sediment layers of dreams and anger come from. Mostly during their paid day, they sit at their computers and look at screens. Some strain their eyes. Others feel pain in their backs or wrists. These are the injuries of the modern battlefield, the twisted flesh that is spoken of in hushed tones as old soldiers can barely grasp their weapons, torn apart for sitting still for too long. There is yoga for people who sit too much. There are wrist supporters for the shredded ligaments of repetitive fatigue, patent US 5769804A by Alvin R. Harris and Christopher L. Vaughn, both of whom were deeply invested in the concept of the God hand, believing that if they held enough hands in place, that an eldritch deity would bestow upon them the power of freezing hands. They hadn't really thought of how to employ this power once it was obtained, probably mostly juvenile pranks involving people attempting to drink from cups. Alvin loved slapping the bottom of Christopher's drinks as he raised them to his mouth. This show of dominance was why Alvin's name came first on the patent application. Little did he know that it was Christopher who would eventually have the God hand bestowed upon him for his work on the method and system for unique naming scheme for content managing systems, publication number 20060167841. This pleased the Dark Lord, Tezcatlipoca, greatly. The main interaction of the day in the modern office is the modern machine, a miracle of communication and connection that, like an exit sign, serves to mask how alone people are, deeper driving home the sense that something is terribly wrong with the universe, the thing that holds their every effort and thought, which spews every dollar or peso or won they hold dear. The office is full of employees that do not speak to each other directly. Some may send messages through their network, enjoying stilted conversations that become more abstract as time passes between responses, slowly losing track of the only thing that interests them during the day. Each desk has one computer on it, at least one. Some have two. This serves as a status symbol in the office, a place full of status chasing that means nothing, that you have more money spilt in your direction, more effort has been made to get you to sit at your desk throughout the day to produce more things. The two computers are identical, and often they both serve the exact same function. Why someone would need two identical computers is a hard question to answer. It is best not to ask. Questions within the office are not received well, because then one would have to apply some reason to the actions that have no rhyme. None of this is rhymed. The average computer found in someone's home, used for viewing pornography and short voyeuristic videos of disgusting or painful events, simply another form of masturbation, are capable of processing calculations that the majority of the population of this planet are incapable of comprehending. These same people would blame unknown forces for the most mundane events and inconveniences, not understanding that their calls for justice would shut down the device or network that they rely upon to get their misinformation. The majority of the population of this planet are incapable of comprehending the simplest of things because the world they have been born into has been designed for their survival. Many people never fully realize just how awful this is. Imagine the last complaint you heard. Then remove that person from their current existence in space and time and send them back to the Middle Ages, when the average person spent most of their life trying to make their life continue into another day. If you hadn't gathered food, you didn't eat. If you hadn't chopped firewood, you froze to death that night. Now have the complaint spew forth from your modern selection's mouth. I asked for non-fat dairy in my coffee. I got homogenized milk. I am so angry. I can't drink this. I have seen the apocalypse, and it is one with more than 2% fat in its milk. How long does it take you to imagine a farmer turning his back and walking away from them for their selfishness and disgust at the noise they make that makes no sense? Then imagine them being the cause of a plague because they have brought modern disease into a time when biology was not equipped to fight the mutated viruses we have now. This is the world we live in, not the Middle Ages. That was ages ago, sort of in the middle, but not now, when we order caffeinated beverages that require an individualized recipe to satisfy someone. In the first worlds, where you have the education and time to read books, but only if someone else sees you reading so they know how smart you are. On your own time, it's car crashes from around the world and a television show about a horrible person doing horrible things through ignorance so you can laugh at them, which is a pretty ignorant thing to do. Most of the population of this planet is lucky to be alive in spite of itself. I am. Modern medicine has kept me alive when my body gave up twice so far. There is a phrase, third time's the charm. But I don't know if that means I will be saved a third time, or the third time death ignores antibiotics and forces me to kneel before Yama, the first mortal to have died who found his way to the celestial abodes. I will be judged for my deeds and sent to either the realm of Pitris, Naraka, or be reborn on Earth. I wonder how this piece of writing will be taken into account, as it is fact mixed with fiction, which is as much of a deception as all of my complaints so far. As for our modern complaints, it is difficult to see the glory in watching the mass dullards of the world accidentally strangling themselves trying to make their first rabbit trap instead of warehousing them in an open concept offices to while away their existence trying not to drop anything and being angry that the world hasn't jumped up at their lack of effort and instantaneously recognized their genius. People in the office also spend a lot of time not looking at each other. Somehow, direct eye contact has become rude. Physical contact is an unthinkable offense. It is difficult for these people to imagine the days we used to spend huddled, picking ticks off each other and eating them as treats. It's hard for these people to remember their weekends. The creator of the Open Concept Office was a Norwegian named Torvald Ingebrigtsen, who suffered paranoia at the hands of a severe case of syphilis. Many people do not realize that most modern inventions are the result of a bacteria slowly eating away at certain parts of the brain to let all the really interesting ideas just gush out. Sir William Osler said, "The physician who knows syphilis knows medicine." What he left out was, "But without syphilis, we wouldn't have microwave burritos or the cure for tetanus." Torvald ran a company that produced bells in Oppland near Norway's two tallest mountains, Glittertind and Glatnopgin. It was on the latter Torvald contracted syphilis with the assistance of a woman who professionally cooperated in designing the license plate system for vehicles that is still in place today, which uses color coding to designate the different taxation, allowances, and designations of cars as used by the citizenry. Torvald's designation in this instance would be "other man." There was no formal taxation and certainly very few restrictions on his activities, but he certainly paid a hefty toll in subsequent days as he was unable to battle the bacteria that invaded his body into submission. In the days that followed, Torvald began to believe that the marketing staff in his employ, who simply and sincerely wanted to get more bells to more people in the world, were plotting his demise. This was partially true and partially false, which would make it difficult for Yama to judge. But Yama is often depicted as carrying a noose to capture souls, which sort of implies a bias, if you ask me. The marketing group did often meet to ridicule their employer and plan the different ways they would dispose of his body after dispatching him from this mortal coil. At no point did any of those involved really intend action, as the formation of a scheme was no more than anything beyond an enjoyable afternoon's entertainment along with cocktails. Perhaps the negative energy managed to penetrate Torvald's brain. The loss of the license plate system designer from his life, she would move on to stay with a burgeoning artist, who she then claimed passed syphilis onto her when it was in fact the opposite, wouldn't help. He decided that there had to be a way to be able to watch over all his employees at the same time and thus extend his own lifespan without losing them as productive underlings. The bacteria hit his brain pan in a small explosive flash of light that no one would sadly ever see because it occurred within his dome. and he would see a world without walls, a world where people who liked him and the people who hated him would all be safely within sight. He would be Yama and oversee all, judge but never ride a buffalo. There are not a lot of buffalo in Norway. There are reindeer, but since the movie Reindeer Games came out in the year 2000 starring Ben Affleck, the panoply of gods agreed that none would be seen riding a reindeer ever. Co-star Charlize Theron said Reindeer Games was her least favorite of her movies. Most gods agreed. It would be expensive to take out the walls and tear down the status symbols they represented. So many people clung to them as they were all they really had in their lives. The walls they had that no one else had. They couldn't move them or take them home, but they existed. Torvald made a florid speech about the democracy and equality to explain the reasoning to his staff. It was long and winding and seemed to lack a point, which, you know, no doubt you are familiar with. Most of the employees stood at attention but mentally shut off after a few minutes. Some, more loyal than the rest, the ones Torvald mistrusted the most, felt moments of inspiration, hoping that the change to the office would represent a real change in their lives. It would. It would be noisier. While the 20-minute speech went on, Torvald reveled in his staff's inability to see that the representation of freedom, more openness, collaboration was actually a way to exert more control, more oppression on them. Some might even thank him after. The plan worked wonders. Architectural design firms were hired, and other companies took note, and the concept spread far and wide. The sad footnote to this short story is that not many people need a whole lot of bells. So the money Torvald poured into his redesigning his environment so as to make it Machiavelli-free, and to which his idea was received with such acclaim, was his downfall. Here the bells toll, I guess. A man driven to insanity, but in a practical way, so as to revolutionize the modern office in an easily forgotten story. While more often inventions are pushing back against the world, like Amon, who hated Gordon with such passion, there are creations, like this one, born of idleness. The man who invented the desk was literally the dullest man to ever exist. So dull, in fact, that his creation, the station that modern man is locked to for most of their waking hours, within the open concept office, behind the doors that lead to freedom, that lock you in with the Gordons of the world, is not even remembered by name, just Guy Who Invented the Desk, or the Desk Guy. When interviewed by one of his neighbors, as he had no friends who would make inquiries after him, asking what it was he was cutting together with wood, he replied, "A table, but with drawers. I need to hold things." The saddest part, he didn't actually have a need to hold anything. He had no papers of significance. He was really just making additions to his table out of loneliness and boredom, which is why nothing fun has ever happened at a desk, especially within an open concept office. If you have a topic you would like examined, feel free to submit your suggestions to chunkmcbeefchest@gmail.com.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chunk my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB.
This pleased the Dark Lord. This pleased the Dark Lord. Tetzka Tepoka. Sorry, I'm gonna have to practice. Tetzka Tepoka. This pleased the Dark Lord Tetzka Tepoka. This pleased the Dark Lord Tetzka. Why did I do this to myself? The panoply of gods agreed that none would ever be seen. All right, let's take a break.